Chapter 2 Taulo, County Durham. The train deposited her in a tiny station. There was no porter and no one on the platform. The snow was forming in peaks all around, still hurling itself sideways. She hoisted up her luggage again, regretting having brought with her so many books, which were heavier than she could ever have imagined. She had just got everything out when a man appeared out of nowhere to close the train door. He disappeared back into the whiteness, and Prue stood on the dark platform as the train chugged away, very soon disappearing out of sight. She felt like a neglected relative, and worse. Her stomach churned, and she couldn't feel her toes or her fingers. She didn't know what to do. She had written to say she would be there, but she knew that the train was very late, and it seemed nobody had come to meet her. She dragged her suitcases beyond the platform, but there was nothing but snow and thick darkness. Just as she was about to give up and go in search of somebody, she heard a noise, a shout of, "Whoa, lad!" and a buggy coming to a halt. A shadowy figure came towards her until he was but a few feet away, and then he said, "Hello, lass. Are you the only one?" He was an older man, though it was difficult to tell, but for his voice, he was so muffled up against the weather. "It seems that way," she said. He gazed around him.
"Nobody else got off?"
"Nobody." His look returned to her. He stared. "Have you come for me?" she asked hesitantly.
"I've come to collect the new doctor," he said.
"That's me. I'm Dr. Prudence Stanhope." He stared for a few seconds longer, and then, as though it were amusing, he began to smile.
"Well, by damn, it's you I've come for, then. Welcome to the wilds, pet. They told me the train'd be late."
He picked up her bags, one by one, and stowed them in the back of the buggy. Then he came back and helped her up before getting up himself. At his urging, the pony moved away. The snow was settling on her shoulders and on his and on the pony's back. Flakes got into the pony's black mane and shone there like stars. The driver said they had not far to go, and she was grateful. At first she couldn't see anything, but almost immediately there was the little town, the terraced houses, the wide street. They stopped about 10 minutes afterwards. He took her luggage to the door and knocked hard. She was astonished at the place. She had thought the house would be big and in its own grounds, or at least set back from the road. But this was an ordinary street, an end terrace, quite large, but right on the roadside. It was just another house, windows up and down and a door in the middle. The road climbed away up a steep hill on the right, with buildings at either side. She couldn't see what they were. There was no bell on the door, no knocker, so Prue stood and waited while the man banged his fists on the door again. There was silence from the house beyond, but after a little while, when he tried even more loudly, Prue discerned a light from inside, and at last the door was opened. The young woman who opened it, lamp in hand, was small, slight, and looked to Prue no more than 18. She stared out at them. Prue imagined she was the help, so plainly was she dressed. She didn't invite Prue in, just gazed at her and at her suitcases. As Prue stared back, she saw that the woman was pregnant, just a slight bump, which would not have shown in a larger or more generous figure. It caused a slight pain in Prue, remembering how her life used to be. Guilt swept her like a cold wind. Would she feel like this every time she saw a pregnant woman?
"I'm Dr. Stanhope," Prue said, moving forward.
"I'm Dr. Fleming's wife," the girl said, and she opened the door wider.